Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon. We're here in the studio, and remember, from startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And today's show is all about the power of public speaking and how to captivate an audience, big or small. And I'm joined in the studio by public speaking coach and Toastmaster District 91 champion, Serena Mann, who is here to tell us about her incredible business, which is Breakthrough Public Speaking, but will also be sharing some incredible top tips on how to feel more comfortable or confident speaking in front of an audience. Now then, Serena, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. So grateful to be invited to speak today.
You are most welcome. It's so good having you in the studio. And of course, I'm really looking forward to delving into this, to be honest, this topic, which I think is, you know, massive years in recent years has blown up really, especially with the advent of social media and videos online. So, you know, what's it like? What's it like coaching public speaking?
I absolutely love it. It's one of those things where you see someone transform
from
being someone who really didn't think they could speak in front of others, whether that's for in-person audiences or online, to realizing, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, it really is about learning some skills and then putting them into practice. So I love seeing that transformation. And it's often, you know, quicker than people think. You know, sometimes people think to overcome my fear, it would take, you know, months, years, but it really doesn't. It's much more straightforward than people think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, gone are the days where public speaking was simply, you know, talking to thousands of people on a stage. It's not the case anymore. It can be quite on a small scale as well.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I love to share with people as well, because if we think about what it means and what's involved in running a business these days, then we need to think about, you know, what it is to be in the digital age.
Yeah.
And that means to speak on podcasts, to do videos, to do webinars. There's so much online speaking and so many opportunities that can come from that. So I think it's about seeing that public speaking isn't just about speaking on a stage, being in a spotlight in front of an in-person audience. That's part of it for sure, but it's much more wide-ranging than that.
Yeah, for sure. So your business then, Breakthrough Public Speaking, when did you start this business?
So I started it in 2020, smack in the middle of the pandemic.
Okay.
And I wanted to start a business all around public speaking to begin with. But when the pandemic hit, I realized that just from conversations I was having with a lot of my friends who are speakers, that the whole online world was a different ballgame. That speaking on camera actually was different. It is different than speaking to an in-person audience. There are different skills that you need.
Mm.
And also there are different fears that come up. And so I decided to niche down on this one area in 2020. So that's what I did for the first couple of years of the business, which is all about speaking on camera and how to do this effectively, whether that's for something pre-recorded or live.
Yeah, it must be different because I suppose, you know, public speaking or talking in front of a camera, you're not necessarily going to get immediate feedback from the audience. We certainly can't necessarily see the audience. Do you find that?
Exactly. And that's the big thing that really throws people.
Okay.
Right. This is it. Because for some, now there are different types of people, right? Some people find that speaking in front of an in-person audience gives them that reassurance and they feel much better for that.
You get the sort of visual cues or...
Yeah, absolutely. And that in turn builds your confidence because you realize, you know, this is okay. I can do this. But then other people actually find that's it's too frightening to be there in front of all these people. There's so much stimulus around them.
Sure.
And they actually prefer to be on camera.
Yep.
But what I find is universally people struggle to just speak to camera. If it's for a pre-recorded thing, then often people can sort of go a bit wooden and they have a monotone voice because they're not speaking in front of a person. So they struggle to make it look natural. And if it's for a live virtual audience, I find that people just find that really off-putting. They're just speaking to a camera and they can't get that feedback. It can be really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, later on in the show, you're going to be sharing some of your top tips.
Absolutely.
For feeling more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And comfortable, you know, talking to an audience, big or small. It could be one person, could be doing a presentation to your boss, I guess, or it could be talking to, you know, Glastonbury size audience.
Exactly.
What made you want to start your own business then? What was the catalyst?
So the catalyst actually was having a chronic illness. So in 2010, I got quite ill with ME and I was bedbound for a few years and then housebound for years after that. And it really affected my mobility big time. And, you know, I had, like anyone, you never plan for illness. You don't think that's going to happen to you. And what it helped me do was to think more creatively about my life.
Yeah.
And I decided, okay, so whatever I'm going to do this from home. And that's what I did. And I wanted to build something, and I did have a passion for creating something and helping people in a way that I felt was would be something really beneficial for them. So I just had to find out what that was.
Yeah.
And then I soon found that in speaking.
How did you discover that?
So I overcame my own fear of public speaking. That's how I discovered it. So I joined Toastmasters, and I went to a lot of the meetings. I entered loads of the contests, and quite quickly I progressed within Toastmasters. I also trained as a trainer, and I couldn't believe it that for someone who had avoided public speaking my whole life, all of a sudden I was winning all these awards for speaking and people were feeling inspired. I thought, wow, everyone needs to know this, that it's not about having this natural born gift, because that's a huge misconception around public speaking.
I remember you saying, people think, don't they? Well, you must be a natural.
Exactly.
But actually, that doesn't mean you can't necessarily learn to do it.
Yes, it is about seeing it as a skill set, like swimming, like driving. It really is that you can learn these skills. You can still be true to yourself and true to your personality, but you then employ the best skills for you, the ones that represent you as a person and your business. And then you go out there and be a great speaker.
What an amazing skill to be able to pass, on to somebody. Do you find when you see your students or the people that you've coached, and they've gone from perhaps, you know, being a bit of a nervous wreck to this sort of, you know, confident speaker, how does that make you feel?
Amazing. It's really, really amazing. I can't even describe it. It's fantastic. You know, often, so I communicate on WhatsApp with my clients, and especially after they've delivered the main speech we've been working on that they've been a little bit worried about, you know, they leave me this voice message and say, you know, I can't believe it. It went so well.
Yeah, I did it.
And I can hear their excitement in their voice. And that feels incredible. Or like a video. Sometimes it's about working on a social media video. And the first video you post can be really, really hard. And people are sort of really anxious about it. But then they do it and they realize that's okay. You know, I've done this. And that's a great journey to just go side by side with someone and see them grow and develop.
Absolutely. I was going to ask, how does what you do help people promote what they do online? Of course, you know, social media and bits and pieces, people wanting to maybe do a video on LinkedIn. How does it fit in?
Sure. There are just so many opportunities for speaking online that business owners can make the most of. And the great thing about this, it's all free. You know, you don't need money to do it. You can just promote all of the things that you want to online in a way that's affordable for everyone. And this is it. There's just so much opportunity that people often don't see. So you can post videos on social media. There are so many statistics to say, you know, from marketing agencies, all kinds of different research that shows that how effective video is. So on your social media, but also on your website. Because people can see the person behind the business. You know, it has a function. They get to know you more. You can explain things better to them. So they see a video of you. Then there's also the webinars. You know, you can do your online masterclasses or webinars. So it's a great funnel to add into your marketing.
Definitely.
So maybe you have some videos that lead to a webinar. And then on the webinar, on your sales pages, you can have videos as well. And this is just a great way to connect with your audience. So there are so many or more opportunities. But also just being a guest speaker. You know, if you're just able to say, yes, I'll do it, I'll deliver this talk, whether it's in person or online, then there are so many opportunities. You know, just like with the networking at the moment, there's so many networking groups that are online. And if you can deliver a great networking presentation online.
Especially like a 60 second, you know, elevator pitch.
Yep. There's a 60 second pitch. If you do that well online, because a lot of people struggle with that, then you're really standing out from others.
Yeah, that's really nice, isn't it? It's definitely a way where you can kind of get that edge over potentially your competitors.
Exactly.
That's really nice. So tell us a little bit about the business model for Breakthrough then. What does it offer? How have you kind of carved out this service?
Sure. So what I offer is one-to-one coaching and team training. And within the one-to-one coaching, then I've got a program where people can go on and they can develop all of their speaking skills, because it's the skill set is where you need to start. So it's confidence. So you work on your confidence, but that's linked with the skill set, because this is where your confidence comes from, competence. When you really know how to do something, of course, you'll feel confident about it. So we have a system that I've created where you start on your confidence. You also go through the tech side of things. Because even if you're presenting in person, there's all kinds of different presentation software to be aware of and that you can use to make things even better. Interactive software.
And it's one less thing to worry about, isn't it? If you feel like, I know how to use Teams or Zoom or whatever it might be.
Yes. And this can be a worry. Actually, I delivered some team training a while ago to a company, and I sent them a survey for them to complete. And, you know, coming in at number two, confidence was number one, but coming in at number two as a top challenge was the tech.
Mm.
And I think that's really interesting, because I always include that in my training.
Nice.
And then the next is sort of the content, what to say. And then after that, it's looking at your presentation skills. And then action. So I don't believe in just theory. It's about putting it into practice. So how are you going to use your skills to actually do something with the business? So they do this training with me. Then they've got everything they need. They've got a system. They've got their confidence. They know what to say. So by the end of the training, they actually have created a talk, like a signature talk, plus a couple of videos and their video on their website. So they've actually created a few things. And I also offer like a membership for people who just want to learn over a longer period of time.
Absolutely. Can we just quick rewind back to Toastmasters for anybody out there that's thinking, what was Toast? Can you just give us a quick insight as to what that is?
Yes. So Toastmasters is a fantastic organization. It's an international organization that helps people to develop their leadership, communication, and public speaking skills. And that's how I first got into speaking. And it's a wonderful community of people, very vibrant, very kind. And I really loved being part of the community, and I learned so much through it.
Yeah.
So what you can do is they give you the opportunity to enter into contests.
Right.
And there are different types of contests you can enter. There's a humorous speech contest, an international speech contest, impromptu speaking, and evaluation. So my main area of expertise, if you like, is impromptu speaking. That's when you're given a question and you have to just basically deliver an impromptu speech.
Is that like making it up on the spot?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
So and you don't know what question they're going to ask. It's, you know, it's quite a stressful thing. I have no clue why I put myself through that, but it's really interesting, and it's so good for developing your speaking skills, because impromptu speaking or speaking off the cuff isn't something you necessarily think of a lot.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's invaluable. Because one, let's say, if you're totally relying on your presentation just to go as planned, so that the slides will work, or just for everything to be okay, you can't feel truly confident about that. And the truth is, that may not happen. So if your presentation doesn't go to plan, maybe your slides don't work, or you get some other types of questions in the presentation, you can rely on those impromptu speaking skills to make it fantastic, no matter what.
Otherwise known as thinking on your feet.
Thinking on your feet.
Yes.
Exactly.
That makes complete sense, doesn't it? Thinking, well, if everything does go wrong, then I've got this plan B where I feel okay. I can, you know, not blag my way through it, but I get what you're saying, you know,
because
chances are they're going to know the subject matter.
Yes.
But it's just the fear, I suppose, of having to deliver it can sometimes get in the way.
Oh, for sure. It really does get in the way. And if you're just confident about your speaking skills, then that's so much better. And the truth is, you never end up blagging it, because, and that's one of the things I don't recommend. There's one of the most commonly asked questions I get is, what do you do when you're asked to either speak on a topic you know nothing about, or you're asked a question that you don't know?
Mm.
So for me, I'm thinking, well, isn't that obvious? You know, don't make something up, because
sure.
People will see that you've made something up.
Yes.
So be honest about that. You know, but there's always something that you can say, or a different angle that you could approach it by.
Yep.
But certainly, I think there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I'm not sure about that. You know, let me follow up with you. So not just to make things up.
Yeah.
But I think if we're presenting on topics that we know very well about, like our business, then our, you know, our ability to speak on our feet will be so handy.
Yeah.
Because we can just offer so much more value in that way.
Absolutely. What is it you love about public speaking?
I think there are so many different things I love about it. I think one of the things that I really loved first was just the amazing insight that I got, that this wasn't something that you had to have as a natural born gift.
Yeah.
That this is a skill that you develop.
Yep.
And that really it's so much more straightforward than you think, that it really is developing those skills, putting them into practice. So I think that's what I loved about it. It was a mystery solved. But also, it becoming a confident speaker myself helped me to be a confident person in other areas of my life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it really had an effect on my overall confidence. Because when you feel confident speaking in front of a few hundred people, you feel confident in other situations too.
Yeah, you sort of think, well, if I can do that, this is a walk in the park.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. And the other thing, I think, is it helped me to see that really, you know, your fears don't have to hold you back in life. And that the ability that you have to speak and really communicate to others can change lives.
Mm.
And everyone has something valuable to say. So many people think they don't have something to say, or who would be interested in their story. What do they have to offer? but everyone has something extraordinary to offer. And when you start developing your speaking skills and maybe reflecting upon the types of stories that you can use, I think it awakens something within you where you realize, I have something to share. And do you know what? This could be really valuable to my listeners, and I'd like to give that to someone.
Absolutely. Your enthusiasm for this topic is just, I can just, it's like electricity. I can feel it. And like you say, you're so passionate about this topic. Of course, you know, there's some great videos online, and you've got your podcast and bits and pieces, and you give away some incredible tips, which you are going to be sharing with us. Well, we're going to take a short break. We've got some music to play, but don't go away, because Serena is going to be giving us some of these top tips on, you know, some of the things you can do to perhaps improve your confidence and public speaking. And I think this is great. I really hope there are some people out there that maybe think they might, you know, the thought of public speaking strikes the fear into them. But to just hear, you know, especially your story, Serena, about how you were once fearful of it and now you feel very confident to do it, I think that's going to give people a lot of hope.
Yep, thank you.
So yeah, brilliant. Well, look, don't go away. Stay tuned. We're going to be back for part two in just a moment.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Hello and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am here in the studio with Serena Mann, public speaking coach.
Hello, thank you.
How are we doing, Serena?
All right, pretty good.
Excellent. Well, we left off talking about your incredible business, which is Breakthrough Public Speaking. And you're going to share with us some amazing top tips.
Absolutely.
On you know, public speaking and kind of how to feel confident in front of an audience, big or small. So what have you got up your sleeve?
Oh, so quite a few tips there, especially on confidence, because this can often be the biggest barrier to people, because obviously there's nerves and there are just different range of emotions that can come up when you're speaking in front of others. So I think the main thing is to acknowledge that you're feeling uncomfortable, and then it's about working with your emotions.
Sure.
Okay, so often what happens is you can think to yourself, you know, that you feel like an imposter, and all these feelings can make you feel uncomfortable.
Is that kind of like imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome, absolutely. You know, this is massive. And I just learn so much about it every time I work with someone, you know, this whole imposter syndrome. And it's about just being okay with those feelings, that these are natural feelings. Fear is there for a reason. It's just showing you that you're doing something new.
Sure.
And that you're not too sure about it. So it's about acknowledging those feelings and deciding, well, I acknowledge you, I accept those feelings without judgment, and okay, where should we go from here? So then it's about having a logical conversation with yourself. Well, I know my topic, and you know, I've put together a great presentation, so I appreciate that I'm nervous, but I'll be okay with this. You know, and it's amazing how just such a simple conversation with yourself can work wonders, because what often happens is that you get these uncomfortable feelings and you start to panic. And that actually makes, you know, the panic, the anxiety much worse. You know, like, oh no, don't think this, or this is overwhelming. And this really is what can lead to those really uncomfortable feelings of fear.
Yeah, absolutely. And how important is practice and preparation?
It's really, really important. I can't stress that enough. It's so interesting that there's a misconception when you see someone who is a really experienced speaker, maybe a professional speaker, and you can assume they haven't prepared, that was just natural. And it really isn't the case. You know, I have a whole network of people in my life who are professional speakers, and I know they prepare. Mm. You know, there's not a time where they're saying, oh, I'll just, you know, wing it because I've got these speaking skills. They do prepare, and they prepare well. So the more prepared you are for your speaking event, the more confident you'll feel. It's natural. If you think about this in a logical way, if you were to compare it with, for instance, anything else in life, like cooking. If you invited a whole load of people to your house for, I don't know, a banquet, but you didn't prepare, I mean, that would be a stressful situation, right?
Yeah. Now you say it, you think, yeah, that would, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking is the same, but for whatever reason, well, there are many reasons. One of the reasons is fear. Because we fear public speaking, then what can happen is you start to procrastinate because you don't actually want to practice or prepare because it makes you feel uncomfortable. So then you're left in a situation where it's, you know, the night before a presentation, you've been putting it off because of those uncomfortable feelings. And then you're going into something unprepared.
Yeah.
So the trick really is to be prepared, practice, rehearse, get to know your audience well. Who is it that you're talking to, and what kind of talk will help them the most?
Absolutely. What other myths would you like to dispel around public speaking?
Oh, I love dispelling myths. So there are so many, but I think one of the first ones I'd like to talk about really is the whole fake it until you make it. Now, I get the sentiment. I do. And there are reasons that people say that. You know, just, you know, put on a brave face, do it, and you'll feel much better. And there was also a great TED Talk actually delivered by Amy Cuddy, who talked about how if you have a strong posture that sends, you know, signals from your brain to your body that you're okay. And right. I get that. And I totally agree with that. And so from that talk, a lot of people started talking about, oh, in that case, fake it until you make it. But I think the language overall is not helpful for confidence building at all. If you told yourself, you know, before this talk, just fake it until you make it.
It's kind of winging it.
Yeah, indeed. Like, you have to be fake, maybe wing it. And that's just not helpful. And
it's not a long-term strategy, is it?
No.
Because it's going to be like Groundhog Day. It's going to come around again. You're like, I've not done any prep. I've not practiced. I've not done anything to get myself in a more confident mindset. So here we go again.
There can be that. Yes, exactly. And, you know, a better step would be to, well, why don't I learn the skills and then I'll do this? You know, because again, if you looked at that in another context, like cooking or driving, you'd never say, you know, just fake it until you make it. Pretend you can drive and it will work out. That would be ridiculous. So the same is true for speaking.
With public speaking, is it a little bit like learning a language, i.e. once you learn those key skills, you kind of need to be practicing them, you know, fairly regularly? Or is it something that you need to keep sort of topping up? Or is it like riding a bike where you kind of never forget how to sort of, you know, like do public speaking? How does it work? What do you find?
Yeah, I don't think you ever forget. I do think you learn a skill set, you know, like riding a bike, you learn the skill set and you then know how to deliver a talk in multiple settings.
Yeah.
Right. And you can apply it to online. You can apply it for shorter talks. You can apply it to longer ones. It might take a little bit more thought if there's a different type of speaking that you're doing that you're used to. But overall, the skills that you use, that you develop, you can use across different types of speaking. And I don't think it's anything that you really forget. I think the more you do it, of course, the better you are. Like if you're, you know, any kind of sports person, I don't know, a gymnast, and you're practicing lots, then you'll get better and better because you'll refine that skill. So definitely you get better the more you do it because you refine those skills. But certainly I don't think it's something that you ever really forget.
No, that's nice, isn't it? It is like a lifelong kind of skill.
So exactly.
It's worth putting the time in.
Well, this is it. This is exactly it. It is a lifelong skill. You don't need to keep learning it. You know, it's really is you learn the skills. And of course, you can develop more advanced skills and build upon that. But there are just really a core set of skills that you can just learn and you've got those for life.
That's nice. I like that. So what other tips have you got up your sleeve then in terms of, you know, if there's anybody out there that's perhaps, you know, got a presentation they're dreading, or maybe they are planning on jumping on a stage at some point and delivering a talk? What else? What other tips have you got?
Absolutely. So one of the main things I say is that if you want to be not only confident but effective in your speaking, then it's really important to take the focus off of yourself and focus on your audience and your message.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because when you take the focus on yourself, off yourself, it helps with confidence because the more you think about yourself, what will people think of me? What if I mess up? I think I'm an imposter. The more you think of those kinds of thoughts, of course, your anxiety levels are going to be shooting through the roof.
Through the roof.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Because it's going to be an unbearable situation. So the more you think about your audience, then you'll feel calmer. But actually what you say will be better. You'll offer more value because you're not thinking, what can I get out of it either? You're actually thinking, of course, every business has something to sell, right? But we need to offer value when we speak. And this is becoming more and more common. People are, you know, needing more value from what we're saying because there's so much content out there.
It's quite busy.
It's really busy. So if you're offering something hugely valuable to someone in your content, then you're going to stand out because someone has learned something from you. So they'll want to learn more. So the more you're focused on, you know, who are my audience? Who are they? What difficulties do they have? And how can I help solve that? So knowing your audience, being aware of how you can really solve a problem for them, keeping the focus on them, your audience and your message will transform the way that you speak.
Absolutely. Are there any kind of absolute no-nos that you've maybe seen that you think, you know, when it comes to public speaking or talking in front of audience, you know, what things should we be avoiding? What things shouldn't we do?
So there's lots. Again, the things that I would recommend avoiding is like being unprepared. But also it's so common these days that presentations just use loads of PowerPoint slides. You know, this term was coined, you know, years ago, the death by PowerPoint, but it's still happening.
Yeah.
This whole death by PowerPoint where people would have exactly the same type of presentation. Hi, my name is so-and-so, this is what my talk is. And then just whiz through some slides. They'll stand in exactly the same position next to the slides with very little engagement. So it's about avoiding being boring. That's fundamentally what this is. It's about engaging your audience and thinking, well, what could be interesting for them? Maybe I could start by asking them a question.
Nice.
So avoid just delivering the same types of presentations that you see everyone else delivering and using loads and loads of slides rather than being a speaker. Because ultimately, what you want to be is a speaker, and a speaker uses a range of different techniques. PowerPoint is one of them. It's just one tool, but then you can use other tools like engagement, engage your audience, ask them questions, tell a story. So a range of different techniques to really engage your audience and stay away from just delivering those same old sort of presentations that don't really engage your audience.
It's interesting what you said there about telling a story. Is it true people tend to absorb more information when they're in kind of storytelling or story listening mode?
Absolutely. There's loads of research to show that your audience engages with you so much more, actually, when you tell a story. And there are lots of different reasons. But for you as the speaker, it's also, it helps you to remember what it is you're saying. You can fill in a story here and there within your content. And it helps your audience to remember more of what you've said and connect. So one of the things that stories does is it really connects with people's emotions. One of the key emotions you want to be able to connect with when you're speaking and when you're telling a story is empathy, right? So you want your audience to feel empathy for you, that they can relate, that what you've said is really relatable. They get that. Like, I relate this. You've been in a situation just like me. You know, one of the stories I tell is before I overcame my fear of public speaking, the speaking event that I wanted to do before this was actually delivering my father's eulogy. And this was hugely, you know, scary. It was such a scary moment. And after that, I really decided, you know, this is silly. Why do I want this fear of public speaking to be influencing all these things that I want to do? And it was in that moment. Because, of course, when someone close to you dies, it makes you reflect on these things. So that's a story that I tell often in presentations. It's something that people can relate to. And it creates an emotional connection.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, it's powerful stuff, isn't it? It is. And like you say, you know, when you see your students or the people that you work with, and it might be anybody from, you know, a sole trader to a CEO of a company, and you see them sort of go from one particular, you know, phase to this sort of more confident self. You said earlier, it makes you kind of feel, I don't know, what did it make you sort of feel proud in a way?
Absolutely. I just feel really, really happy for them.
Yeah.
Proud of them, proud of us for, you know, making it work, you know, because you work as a team with people, really. It feels like a fantastic team effort that I feel deeply proud of, definitely.
Tell us more about your fantastic courses and kind of how do they work? Do you do kind of beginner, intermediate, advanced level? How does it work?
Yeah, sure. So I do one main course or program that takes you through all the skills that you need for both online and in-person audiences. So you'll have your your skills to actually do your social media videos, a video for your website. You can do create a webinar or something like this, but also a signature speech, because the best way to learn skills is not just abstract. You need to have something to work on.
So a signature speech?
Yep. So your signature speech is the speech that you would present for your business.
Okay.
Often it's called a keynote speech, but in the speaker world, keynote speeches are something different.
Yep.
They're something where you're not really speaking on the topic of your business. You're speaking to inspire people, and often you're paid to do that. Whereas a signature speech is more the speech that you have for your business. So you create a fantastic framework for it. You use stories, and then you deliver it in multiple platforms, either in person or online, so people know much more about your business.
Absolutely. Can they book courses online?
Absolutely, yeah. So I've got everything that I have is online, and there's also a membership program. I'm currently in the process of creating a digital breakthrough virtual speaker program too, which will be live in about a week or so. So there are different levels of membership to suit different budgets and different priorities. So when you're ready to do your signature keynote speech, and that's the program that I have, and then when you're more wanting to support and help with confidence, then that's the memberships.
Nice. And do you work with people locally? I guess you could work with anyone anywhere in the world.
Yes. Yeah, so as I said, I started my business off online. So initially it was just an online business, speaking on camera. So I have worked with people just anywhere in any location.
Sure, yeah.
But then recently, after the last 6 months really, I've been doing more in-person stuff. And so I do work with local companies and local charities and business owners.
Excellent. Well, look, hold that thought, because I'm hoping you've got maybe one or two tips left to share,
yep,
possibly. And we're in part three, so we're going to take a short break in just a moment. We've got some more music. But it's that part of the show where I love to kind of delve into a bit more of Serena's own unique business journey and some of the challenges that you faced along the way setting up Breakthrough Public Speaking. And of course, I'll be asking that classic question of, if you were to do it all again, what might you do differently? And if you were sat opposite somebody that was maybe looking to start a business, you know, what would you say to them? So don't go away, and we'll be back for part three.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice.
Welcome back to The Voice. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis. And I'm here in the studio with Serena Mann, public speaking extraordinaire and coach, who is here in the studio telling us some amazing tips on how to improve your public speaking, or even just feeling confident talking in front of an audience, big or small. And of course, Serena, you've created this amazing business, which is Breakthrough Public Speaking. How are you doing? Are you enjoying your time in the studio?
I really am. It's been lovely having this chat.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. Honestly, fantastic. Part two, if you're just tuning in, Serena's been sharing some tips, and you've got another one for us.
I certainly
right
have.
Right now. Yeah, talk us through it.
So one of the things I think really helps is to actually feel confident and be confident. So it's not about, you know, putting on this act. I think sometimes people think it's about putting on an act, that they have to put on this show of appearing confident.
Nice.
When really it's about being confident. So what I created is a 5-part model to being confident. The first part is about identifying your fear. So what is it that you're actually afraid of? Be specific, because different fears have different solutions. And the second part is limiting beliefs, because this is something, and really sort of getting to know them, challenging them and so on in a healthy way. Because what can happen, especially for your work online, is when you see yourself back on camera,
yeah,
you can really cringe. And for some people, it's so hard to move on from that. But everyone cringes when they first see themselves back. And it's about working through that until you're at a place where you can watch your video back and you can feel confident about that, and you can evaluate yourself and watch it more objectively. Then the third part, really, to be more confident is what I call heart center. And that's something that I really wanted to focus on, because, yeah, it's really about bringing your awareness out of your head and into your heart so that you feel centered. So working with your breath as well, so that you're not breathing in a shallow way. You're breathing deeply into your core. You're really feeling grounded.
Mm.
And this really helps, especially at the start of your speech, because really it's the run up to the talk where people can feel the most nervous, and in those first few seconds of speaking. So don't rush it. Really ground yourself, take a deep breath, pause, and then speak. This is so important. It will really help you to feel more confident and help you with the whole pacing of the talk. Because what can often happen is people start to speak and from the beginning they're out of breath.
Yeah.
And this is what can lead to panic and so on. And then the speech gets faster and faster and faster until you just whiz through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. So if you stop at the beginning, this is so helpful. And the process and the run up to that is you've identified your fears, you've worked on your limiting beliefs. Then you practice this heart center, bring yourself out of your head into your heart, because your head is where all this overthinking is happening. And you can't think your way out of anxiety, because anxiety is a problem of overthinking.
Yeah.
So bring your awareness into your heart. I use meditation. I've been meditating for 24 years. I find it so helpful. But there are other things you can do, like yoga or other type of relaxation techniques, where you can really just get out of your head into your heart and in a more centered space. And then it's all about being prepared. So as we talked before, the key to being confident about your talk is knowing that you're ready for it and you've prepared well and you've practiced it. And then the last part really to being a confident speaker is taking action, because you can't think your way into being a confident speaker. You can't meditate your way into being a confident speaker. It's where the doing brings the magic.
Putting the kind of theory and the prep work into practice.
Exactly. It's so important, because when you do it, you realize, I can do this.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bad. And that informs you, it informs your whole nervous system that public speaking is okay, that you can do this. Again, it's like if we applied this to any other skill in life, we know, of course, that's the case. The more you do something, the more familiar you are with something, the more confident you'll feel. Sometimes where this doesn't happen in public speaking, I have heard this before, is where someone will say, you know, I deliver talks, I don't know, every few months, I've been doing this for a few years, and every time I feel wrecked, it really traumatizes me. And this is because they haven't gone through these steps. So they're trying to do the whole fake it until you make it thing, where they just feel they have to put on this act, and they actually haven't worked with their confidence yet. So they're pushing them into a situation they feel very uncomfortable with. But if you work through these steps, then you come at it from a more grounded place, and you each time you do it, then you actually do feel much more confident.
Definitely. Do you find people can sometimes feel a bit drained after they've done some public speaking? Because like I said, such a build up, such an adrenaline rush, and then they do it and it's almost like this sense of relief.
Yes. This is such a great topic, because it also depends on, you know, if you're an extrovert, an introvert, somewhere in between, because I often...
It's tiring, isn't it?
Yeah. I often find that the introverts amongst us, like myself, needs much more recovery time.
Okay.
And so sometimes when I'm coaching an introvert, they're like, okay, I'll need the rest of the day just to recover from this, you know, giving a talk.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. And that's important to know yourself
and
know what you need. So if you don't need any recovery time, then brilliant. Just schedule something in immediately after.
Yeah.
But if you feel that you do need, then that's really important. It's a type of self-care.
Absolutely. Such good tips. And thank you for sharing those. I hope we've inspired some people out there, or they're thinking, do you know what? Maybe I'm going to give this a try. But you're right. There's only so much sort of talking in front of the mirror you can do. Sometimes you just need to give it a go.
Definitely.
Yeah, give it a go. If it's okay with you, I'd like to change tracks ever so slightly. And what I'd like to do is break in to break through.
Brilliant.
And let's kind of delve into your own business and kind of, you know, some of the challenges or what you've learned along the way in terms of setting that up. Because like you say, you know, it's a fairly new business, isn't it?
Yes.
And what you've achieved so far is nothing short of incredible. Are there any kind of challenges that really stand out, you know, in the early stages?
Absolutely. So I think one of the challenges with starting up a business is realizing that, you know, you have so many things to do.
Sure.
There are so many different skills, and that's like nothing else in life.
Yeah.
Where you have to know so much about a broad range of topics, you know, like your accounts, social media marketing, you know, it's just huge. So I think when you start off with your own business, it's about deciding, you know, what learning about yourself, you know, self-awareness is great for this too. What are you good at and what are you not so good at?
Yeah.
And so for me, from the beginning, I did know that I didn't want to do everything, but I wasn't really clear yet. So one of the things I did outsource from quite early on was the website, because I decided initially, I'd set it up myself. And, you know, every step of the way, it was just taking hours and hours. And I thought, this just isn't me. I'm not a techie person. This isn't going to work. So I decided to outsource things like that, you know, tech stuff, website. And that was really, really helpful. But I think, you know, I could have outsourced other things earlier, for sure.
Yeah.
So to make sure you have all the support in place. And as a small business, obviously there's the worry about cost. You're thinking, oh, can I afford this? But it's just about working with your means and what you can do to help yourself in this area.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you say, you can't be good at everything.
Yep.
But did you find when you outsourced that stuff, what was the benefit? Did it free up bandwidth? Did you find you had more time to sort of, you know, work on the things that you perhaps maybe should have been working on?
Exactly, or best at.
Yep.
It did free up a lot of bandwidth. And this was huge because it was such a relief not to even worry about the website. And then later on, outsourcing the social media, because I realized then, you know, a year into the business, I was spending so much time creating social media content. You know, it was taking up, you know, when I looked at it, it was taking up a huge amount of my time. So outsourcing this was huge. And I think it just made me feel also more supported in the business, that I could actually be more focused. And there's more work to be done, obviously, but those initial stages of outsourcing some key things that would have taken a lot of time for me was really, really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's wise words. And that's something that actually seems to be a bit of a running theme, really, with a lot of the guests I have in the show. One thing they also mention is surrounding yourself with the right people or good people. What's been your experience with that?
That's absolutely the case. And I wish I'd done that earlier on.
Yeah.
Because I think this is massive. Surrounding yourself with the right people and not trying to, you know, work in isolation or work on your own. I think when you start a business, this is something that you can get lost in your own head, where you just focus on, you know, what could work. And maybe you're just out of touch in reality as to so many different things.
Yeah.
So I really view now my business as a team project. And that's also with the outsourcing. So the people that I outsource to, you know, are all part of the team, and also the people that I network with. And so now I really don't view my business as, you know, it's just, although I'm a sole trader, I don't feel I'm doing this alone, you know, in that sense. I feel, okay, I'm running my business by myself, but I've got a team of people that I'm working with. And I think that's key. And, you know, recently, especially in Southampton, I've been making more in-person connections, and that's been fantastic and really, really valuable, because you learn from others. You get so many ideas from others, and there are always going to be people who are a few steps ahead of you, a few steps behind, and we can all just share. And my experience of actually running a business is that other people running businesses are very kind, you know, and everyone just wants to help one another. That's what I found.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, sometimes just getting a different perspective on a challenge or an issue that you've got, a different way of thinking or seeing it from a different angle, you think, oh yeah,
exactly, yes. And also asking people what they want. So this is something I've done recently. In fact, it's when the reason why I held my first keynote speech weekend at a hotel, I asked, you know, on LinkedIn, would anyone be interested in going away to develop your keynote speech at a spa hotel? And I got interest. They said yes, book me in. You know, so some people obviously didn't, but some people did, from that one post.
Yeah.
And actually the people who responded on that one post did actually book in.
Nice.
And that was amazing. And it was just an idea. So I think don't be afraid to ask your audience what they want. You can send out a survey, ask the people within your network, you know, what do you think about this idea? What kinds of things would work for you?
Yeah, you're right. The business community, certainly in my experience as well in Southampton, is people are willing to help. Yep. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be, you know, people are willing to share their knowledge, share their advice.
Absolutely. No, this is exactly what I found. In reality, although I went to university here in Southampton, I've only, you know, returned a couple of years ago.
Sure.
But what I found is the community here is amazing. The first point of contact that I made was with the BIPC, and they've been fantastic, you know, really, really helpful with their information, with contacts and so on, and a platform to speak, you know, and then joining the Old Bond Store, a fantastic community, so much value. And, you know, I'll certainly be joining some other networking groups as well, because
Excellent.
I think those in-person connections are really valuable. I'm also on some online networking, which has been hugely valuable. And that is exactly what I found, that people are just really willing to help out.
That's a really good tip there as well. Not just a challenge, but just the way that you've overcome it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So I'm curious, what's next for Breakthrough Public Speaking? What's on the horizon?
Yeah, so I've got lots on the go at the moment. So over the summer, I decided to record my what was the Breakthrough Virtual Speaker Program group training. So I used to do a group training program for speaking with confidence on camera, whereas now what I offer is I've recorded the whole thing. So it's now a digital course. And then when people want to book some sessions in one-to-one, then they can do that. But they can actually do all their learning online. So it's a massive course, actually. It's really, really massive. And that will be ready very soon. And that will go live. So I've got this digital course. And also working on a book all about how to present with confidence on camera.
Wow.
Because it is one of those, it's a very specialized type of speaking that requires just different skills. Mm. So I'm writing a book about that at the moment. I'm also starting realize that to get booked as a speaker, you also need to view that as a separate business. So I've, at the moment, just building that out so I can get more speaking gigs or actually deliver my own keynote speech, this kind of thing. And then help others to find paid speaking gigs themselves. So that's something that I'm starting. And then team training. I've been doing much more team training with both companies and charities here in Southampton. And that's been fantastic. As well as delivering my team training for virtual presentation skills and in person, another workshop that I've just developed is how to give and receive feedback.
Nice. Yeah, that which is relevant for most people.
Exactly. And it's such a fascinating area. Because it's all about communication.
Yeah.
And I find it's just so, so fascinating and so important for every business, especially with teams. You know, how regularly are you going to give feedback and how do you give this without, destroying relationships? And there's just so many different things to be aware of. So this is a new workshop that I'm currently developed.
This all sounds absolutely brilliant. If there's anybody out there, or perhaps they're listening back on the podcast and they think, do you know what? I need to spend a bit of time with Serena. What should they do? Go to the website?
Yep, they can go to the website, breakthroughpublicspeaking.com. My main place that I hang out on social media is LinkedIn. So they can connect with me on LinkedIn. That would be the best thing to do. They can follow me on LinkedIn, connect with me, and send me a DM and we can have a conversation.
Well, look, Serena, we're almost out of time. This has absolutely flown by the way.
It really has.
And I've really enjoyed it. And just, you're so passionate about this topic. It's just wonderful to sort of sit down and have a chat about it. And I really wish you the best of luck with all your future endeavours. It sounds like you're going to have a busy, never mind rest of this year. The next couple of years, I think, are going to be massive for you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, so it's really, really good. So look, if you like that show, I will be back again next week with another exciting guest. And Serena, can I just say once again, thank you for coming into the studio. And watch this space for sure. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry, and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.